Well, good morning and welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janessa, if you don't know me. I know many of you are still trickling in, but let's begin worship and you can stand and I'll pray as you do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we welcome you here today. We acknowledge how important you are in our lives, that despite the things that we carry from week to week, the burdens that we have in our hearts, that through worship we can give it all to you, we can lay it all down at your feet. We can remember how small we are compared to our wonderful big God. We praise you this morning, and we love to praise you. Amen.
Oh,
witnessing Holy Spirit now. And when I first got to New Life, which was about a year ago, the biggest question that I was asked is, why do you only wear socks? And the answer to that is in the Exodus passage, when Moses encounters God, he takes off his shoes because he's in holy ground. And so when I worship and I'm on this stage and I'm leading you guys, I remember that this is holy ground. And we invite God's presence into this church, into these pews. And we invite, through worship, God's presence into your hearts. And so just let him fill you up. And call once again, even if it's for the first time, for the 100th time, to have God in your heart again. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your living hope. Sing it out. Would you extend your hands this way? Your presence, Lord. Welcome him in. Welcome him in. And I've tasted and seen. Sweetest of love, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. What wonderful news! Your presence, Lord, sing it out. Welcome him in. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Yourself to me. think about food and feasting, we offer our gifts and thanks to contribute to the work of World Renew, our partner agency for worldwide development work. So as we're going to give an offering to that, we would like to also watch a video to see what they are doing.
Food can always tell a story. In Bangladesh, food is the story of our mothers, tending to compost and turning waste into nutrients. As they care for the earth, so they care for our bodies, building our strength and intellect. Milan knows the power of food in our village. Her chickens and cows help send her son to university, transforming his future. Because food educates. In Honduras, food is hospitality, a way for us to create plenty. Together, we grow peppers and raise fish to feed our families. Together, we deepen Myra's joy, bring stability to the Ayas, and crowd outside of Merlin's tortilla shop to support her bold new dream. Because food brings income. In Malawi, food means resilience. Beneath the hot sun, we battle the climate. But our new farming methods have prevented disaster. Now, McDonald's children have a chance for life. They are beacons of hope for tomorrow. Because food saves. Once our stories were defined by hunger, but now, with churches like yours sharing the love of God through the right tools and training, our stories are inspired by a hunger for good. Every story of hunger changed through World Renew was made possible by someone like you. A gift of $200 gives a farmer the tools, training, and supplies needed to feed their family for a year. Give to meet their hunger today.
If you wish, you can bring your offering. You can bring an offering electronically, and the screen shows you different ways to do that. But also, during the next song, there are two collection boxes, one on either side, and you can bring your offering up at that time. And if you've brought cooking oil for the food bank, and you haven't already brought it forward, it is part of our offering to the Lord. So bring it forward as we're singing the next song. And during this song, we encourage you to treat it as an offering to God. And let's pray for the offering. Lord, we thank you that we can join together here at New Life in our virtual congregation to worship you. We want to worship you as we bring our offerings to you. And we remember the work done by World Renew to strengthen. We ask that you'll strengthen those who work in this ministry. May our gifts help them to bring your good news of salvation, justice, and mercy to others. We thank you that we can also bring food for the food bank for those in our community with needs at this time. May our gifts of oil be an oil of blessing to them. And we lift up others, our friends, our families, and our loved ones, who, although giving thanks at this time, we know that they have special needs too. And we just ask that you will meet them, whatever need they have. And as we continue to worship you, may we be able to think of them and lift them up to you. Lord, we continue to worship you, and we ask that you'll meet each of us wherever we are today. May we worship you with heart and soul and mind and love. Amen.
Now my Well, good morning. So we gather here on this Thanksgiving weekend to give thanks to God for all of his good gifts. This morning we do that in a special way as well. Two families from our church are acknowledging that God has given them a great gift of a child, and they are presenting those children before us and before God to dedicate them to the Lord. So I'd like to invite Chris and Sarah Hill to come up front, and Jared and Lauren Leisinga as well. This is modeled after a passage in the Old Testament in which Hannah and Elkanah were desperate for a child, and Hannah asked God for a child, and then God gave her a child, the little boy Samuel, and Hannah brought him to the temple, and these are the words she said, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." All right, why don't you come on over this way? Life is much more complicated with cameras. So, just stand a little bit that way. We've got a camera there, so it's really... Spent 3 days deciding how to do this. No. Chris and Sarah, Jared and Lauren, we celebrate with you today. Chris and Sarah, this is kind of cool. I was thinking we were about to dedicate Vera just before the pandemic started, I believe. And so now we've come full circle, hopefully. Hopefully this is a sign that the pandemic's over. Chris and Sarah have named their daughter Vera Elaine. And Vera is a Slavic, probably eventually Latin, name that means faith. And Elaine is a Greek name that means shining light. So I'd like to bestow this verse from Psalm 27 on Vera. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27. Jared and Lauren Leisinga have named their son Wade Isaiah. Wade, I think, is Lauren's grandfather's name, correct? Right? And so Wade is an Old English name. It means... crossing the fjord, so crossing a river, just nothing super pious about that. But Isaiah, of course, is from the Bible. It's a Hebrew name, Isaiah, the great prophet of Israel, and Isaiah means the Lord saves. And Jared and Lauren want to bestow this passage upon Wade from Isaiah chapter 43. "He who created you," that is God, "he who formed you says, 'Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.'" So... We can have her join the worship team maybe in a moment. So Chris and Sarah and Jared and Lauren, God has given you this great gift. And in offering your child back to God, you declare that you love God with all your heart and that Jesus is the Savior of your life and that you desire the Spirit to live in each of you. And so in response to that, will you instruct your child by word and example with the help of this Christian community in the truth of God's word and in the way of salvation through Jesus? And will you pray for your child and teach them to pray And will you raise them in this church community that represents the body of Christ in this world so that he or she can learn to be a citizen of God's kingdom? Chris and Sarah, what is your answer? And Lauren and Jared, what is your answer?
We do, God helping.
Congregation, these parents have presented these children, but in the context of a larger community. And so responding with, we will, God helping us, I'm asking you, can Chris and Sarah and Jared and Lauren count on you to be that community of Christ that loves and prays for their little ones, and a community that nurtures faith in Jesus for them? What is your answer? All right. Excellent. I invite immediate family to come up on stage as you are comfortable, and maybe you want to spread out here on this side, and let's pray over these families. Marvelous. All right. Excellent, yes. Jared and Lauren actually hail from Western Michigan. And so Lauren's mom came out, and we're welcoming you, and glad that you're here to join the celebration. Marvelous. Wonderful. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for your presence among us. Thank you for your faithfulness among us. And thank you, God, that you extend your promises to be our God, to be our Savior. And so, God, we pray for a blessing upon these families as they present their children before you. And God, we pray that they will be faithful to their promises. And we pray, God, that you will equip them by the power of your Spirit with wisdom and with strength, with courage, with blessing, with joy, and with love to raise these children, God, to follow you. And so we pray, God, that you will bless all of us as a community of the body of Christ to gather together, to encourage and build one another up in faith so that we may be faithful to you, always following you, rejoicing in your goodness. Oh God, be our vision. Be the vision for these children as they grow up, that in a world filled with all kinds of other distractions, God, that they may fix their eyes on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Marvelous. All right. Check the name. Yep.
Good morning, and a special welcome to New Life Church, if you haven't felt welcome already, and I hope you have. That's whether you're with us in the service here or whether you've joined us online. I know some of the greeters sort of go and look at you, and I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to look, so I'm just going to look ahead. It's not that I'm ignoring you. I don't know where virtual people are. That's my problem. I guess at my age, I have an excuse. But you're very welcome anyway. We really are glad that you're joining us. So we want to connect with each one of you here or virtually. And so if you're here, there are connect cards in the seat in front of you, the pocket of the seat in front of you, and you can fill those out and you can drop them at the booth in the foyer as you leave, or during our fellowship time, which is coming up, you can put them in the boxes on either side where the offering was also put earlier. And if you're online, please go ahead and create an account and join, let them know that you're there with them, and you can chat with people too. So we have a few announcements for today. One of them is about our October Serve focus. This month, we're serving Abbotsford Food Bank. And every year we've had a food drive, but this year it's not going to be just for 1 week. We're going to do it every Sunday in October and also tomorrow at the Thanksgiving service. And so as you can see, today we were bringing oil. And those people in the virtual church, you can bring your oil anytime you like. We don't want you to be left out, so bring your oil anytime you like to the church office. And then tomorrow it is rice. And they prefer it in 1 or 2 kilogram bags. I guess that's better for the families, particularly they have to carry it home, without transportation. That they would not want huge sacks of rice. So 1 or 2 kilogram bags of rice. And bring it tomorrow. This is part of our worship to God too. And then next Sunday, we're asking you to bring jam. Okay, so we're going to have a jam session here next Sunday. So tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving Day. And we're continuing in our theme, nourish and be nourished. And so tomorrow you get an opportunity to get both at the service. The service starts at 9 o'clock. And so make sure you do take note of that time, 9 o'clock. If you come at normal time, you'll have missed a lot of what's going on. And we're going to, again, honor the food bank with our gifts of rice, but we're also going to have breakfast together. So come at 9 o'clock, and there is not, it will not be live streamed. So the people on the live stream congregation, we invite you to come and join us for breakfast in person tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I guess, you know, we have some talented staff here at New Life as far as the live streaming goes, but even they were stumped at how to offer breakfast online virtually. So we just would like you to join us for that. Now, soon we're going to be dismissing kids for Kids Church. It's a little bit different today, so listen up. Kids Church, you go out your normal door, that's for grade 1 to grade 5. But the ones who are usually in new lights, that's little lights, that's children who are aged 3 to 5, you usually go out that door, but you're going to be joining the bigger kids today. So you're going to go out that door as well. So everybody's going that way, nobody's going that way. The Kids Church ones will be signed in on the computer. The other ones, the little lights, if the parents can go down with them to sign them in actual manually down there, that would be very much appreciated. And we just hope that they'll have a really good time down there together. So now we're going to have a little break. And this is fellowship time. That gives you time to take your kids downstairs and do whatever else. You get yourself a cup of coffee and get ready for the rest of the service. It's a time to just chat with one another. And if you're a bit shy and you don't know what to say to somebody, maybe you want to find out whether the Thanksgiving meat is turkey or ham. That's a pretty easy question. Okay, 5 minutes, we'll be back again to continue with the worship.
The King of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh. And let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life, oh, he's my song. Yes, you are good, you're good. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, and let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. The king of my heart.
Seat, please. All right. Well, welcome again to New Life Church. We're so glad that you are here. Hoping that you're having a celebrative Thanksgiving weekend. Perhaps it looks a little different, but nevertheless, an opportunity to give thanks. And so today, I'd like to welcome Chao-Leng Wee to the pulpit, and want to extend a warm welcome to him as our guest speaker this morning. Chao-Leng Wee has been a member here at New Life for some time and also has served in many capacities as a pastor, as well as serving at Zion Christian Reformed Church just down the road at one point. And so we're eager to hear God's word as spoken through Chao-Leng this morning. So Chao-Leng, welcome.
Thank you.
This morning.
Hi.
I just want to extend a word of prayer.
Sure.
Father, thank you for Chao-Leng. Thank you for the words and thoughts that you have given him through your word. Mm. And we pray, God, that you will fill him with your spirit. And that as he speaks, we may hear you speak into our lives so that we may be faithful followers of Jesus.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, read my lips. For many years, I would never leave. Can you hear me? Come on. Okay. I would never leave home without my cell phone. But now I can. But then I can't leave home now without a mask. And I don't know how long more this will go on, isn't it? But I'm really glad to be back here this morning When Pastor Nathan invited me to speak a few weeks ago, he told me that he would start a new sermon series with the team Rise Up. But he was very gracious. He said, you know, you don't have to follow that team. You can speak on any topic you like. I thought and pray about it. And I've decided to choose, as the Lord put in my heart, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as the text for this morning's sermon. And this text fits so well with Pastor Nathan's team on Rise Up, and so therefore I aptly call this sermon this morning, Rise Up in Thanksgiving. I'd like you now to first join me in prayer. Would you? Let's pray. Our most gracious, loving, and sovereign God, we thank you that you are here with us already. We have felt your presence. We know that you are here ministering to us, and you've already begun ministering through songs, through prayer, through fellowship, through the dedication of two little kids, and now in the teaching and learning of your word, we ask, Lord, you speak to each one of us. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen. The key verses in this passage can be found in verses 16 to 18, and it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, as Christians, we know too well that we are to rejoice, we are to pray, and we are to give thanks. But here in this text, the Apostle Paul went beyond just simply praying or rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. He says here, Christians are to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstances. To rejoice when we encounter good and pleasant things in life is always what we do. And we rejoice regardless. But it's another story to be able to rejoice always, regardless of our state of mind or emotional well-being. To rejoice always calls for the ability to rise up above ourselves, overcoming our fears, overcoming our anxieties, our pains and sorrows. Praying regularly can already be a challenge for some of us. And so to be able to pray unceasingly requires to break away from our regular routine. It requires to cultivate an attitude of prayer in all our dealings with people and things around us. It challenges us to place our entire life and focus on God in everything that we do, everything that we say, and everything that we think. And thirdly, giving thanks in all circumstances seems like a very tall order. In life, we are often faced with different kinds of circumstances. Many of them bring us joy and fulfillment, and we can and are thankful for them. But yet, at the same time, life brings us challenges, hardships as well. In those instances, can we still be thankful to God and praise Him for the pains, the sorrows, the setbacks, the failures, the hurts, the disappointment, and even betrayal from our closest of friends and loved ones? So how can we, as Christians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. To fully comprehend the Apostle Paul's instructions, we have to look at the context of these verses in the light of the passage of the whole chapter 5 that we were just this morning's sermon. And by doing so, we have to look at the verses before and the verses that come after. The focus of First Thessalonians chapter 5 comes right at the beginning of the chapter, which speaks about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord refers to what we Christians call the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wants us to put our lives in perspective into proper focus. When we view our lives on earth as the end all, then we are easily affected by all kinds of adversities, troubles that come our way. We become easily obsessed with what we have or what we don't have. We also become overly sensitive with what people think of us, in what we say and what we do. And hence, we get upset so easily almost every time we hear something negative that is said about us. We bury our lives by looking merely and focusing merely on ourselves and not looking beyond. It is unfortunate that today we live in a world that is constantly affected by others' opinions, and hence our mood fluctuates almost like a roller coaster. Social media has taken control of our lives. It has influenced and affected businesses. It has influenced and affected family relationships. Even politicians relied on them to run election campaigns. We are constantly checking the number of likes that we have received from our latest Facebook postings or Instagram. And so we easily become depressed or disappointed when we read or hear of some comments or negative comments that is said on our postings. Therefore, we can only rejoice sometimes, but not always. We pray as and when we have time, but not unceasingly. And we give thanks to God whenever we can remember, and only when they are pleasant and happy times. Beloved, are you feeling the strain of life, the pressures, the difficulties, that you are almost nearing a breaking point? Our Lord Jesus knows all about troubles that we have. This is the reason why he said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Dear friends, is life just about 60, 70, 80, 90, or even 100 years on earth? If that is your focus, then you will be easily affected by circumstances almost every day. Your life circumstances would wrap you around and affect your moods and your demeanor, and affect your thinking and rant and rent your life. You will be so disappointed, depressed, and downtrodden. The Apostle Paul wants us to have kingdom vision, to look at our lives beyond what is here on earth. When we put our focus on our Lord Jesus, we'll begin to see a totally new perspective towards life. And that will surely change the way we say things, the way we think things, and the way we act things. The Bible is very clear in this. The second coming of Jesus Christ is for real. And when that day comes, it will be the end of the world. Everyone on earth will have to face God the Creator. That day, we called the Judgment Day. So what are the salient points about this second coming of Christ that we should know that will enable us to rejoice always, pray unceasingly, and give thanks in all circumstances? Let us look at verses 1 to 10. You know, Pastor Nathan told me that I'm given 25 minutes for sermon, and I see that I think that 25 is about the right time because the lights are shining so bright on my eyes, I don't think I can go any further than that. Yeah. So what are the salient points on the second coming of Christ that will enable us to be able to rejoice always, to pray unceasingly, and to give thanks in all circumstances? Number one, sure thing, verses 1 and 2. The day of the Lord will come. It is a given. It is a sure thing. Have no doubt about that. Secondly, sudden destruction in verse 3. Yes, there will be sudden destruction that will totally disrupt our lives. My dear friends, who in the world would have expected an unseen, tiny, little virus called COVID-19 would come so suddenly and infecting some 238 million people the world over, taking away almost 4.9 million lives as of now. And even after 18 months into this global pandemic, we are still in the dark on how much longer this would go on. Until 2 years ago, my wife and I have been traveling all over the world, spending only perhaps about 40% of our time in Canada. But in the last 18 months, we only could do domestic travels, mostly from our bedroom to the living room, frequently to the dining hall. And the last 18 months, the most visited tourist attraction that we have been is the Mill Lake. We walk there almost every day, but nowadays we don't even take pictures. Sudden destruction. The Bible has already warned us in this book written so many years ago. It will be sudden. And when it hits us, and we are still living in that uncertainty, let me tell you this. There will be more to come. Surprise event to those who are ill-prepared, verses 4 to 5. The second coming of our Lord Jesus will take many by surprise, including Christians. Don't take this lightly. It is a serious warning. Don't be caught by surprise. Fourthly, sober and not sleep, verses 6 to 7. Be sober and be ready. And the verse talk about being drunk. Be drunk in the night. But I'm not sure these days during the pandemic, drinking starts in the morning already, perhaps. But here he says he's sober and not sleep. And there's a serious warning about to us. Where are you, my friends, in your spiritual journey with God today? Are you ready and prepared for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you certain where you will be when our Lord Jesus returns for the second time to claim all his faithful followers. Are you ready for that day? If not, be ready. Fifthly, salvation of hope, verses 8 to 10. Our only hope of redemption is salvation in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 warns us, for God has not destined us for wrath or eternal death, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just add on by saying that there is no other way to salvation and hope except through Jesus. Through Jesus as your Lord and Savior and Master and Messiah. So what shall we do? The Apostle Paul suggested three ways. Number one, he says, encourage and build one another. Verses 11 to 12. Second, he says, to esteem each other highly in love. Verses 13 to 14. And then finally, he says, extol goodness one to another. Verses 15. Now, I don't have time to elaborate on these three, but I've included these verses into your group discussion for this week as well, so you can have that time to discuss over these three points. Dearly beloved, when our focus is right with God, we can therefore say confidently, just as the Apostle Paul had admonished us to do, and that is to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. But we are not to do this all by ourselves. We will not be able to do this unless we have some help. And Paul assures us that we won't be battling this all alone. He gave us three wonderful assurances. First, the power of the Holy Spirit that is not to be quenched, verses 19 to 22. A very strong reminder that all believers have access to the Holy Spirit and that we are not to quench the Holy Spirit. And the reason why many believers are not experiencing victory in Christ Jesus is because they often diminish the power, the very power that God gave to each one of us through the Holy Spirit. And this is why Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. I have used this illustration many times before, that when some guests are coming to our house, I know this is not an in thing nowadays in the 18 months, but suppose there's some guests coming to your house tonight. What do? You spend some hours cleaning the place, isn't it? If you're young children, there are lots of toys all over. My daughter from the States just came a week ago, and they just left this morning. So everywhere is all messed up. So you have to clear out a place and all that. So when people are coming in 10 minutes and there's nowhere else to clear, what do? There is a wonderful place in the house called the storeroom. We just open the storeroom and push everything inside there and close it up. Da-da-da-da, the house is ready. Are you quenching the Spirit? And you open the storehouse and put him in and say, hey, hang on here, stay here. I got some friends who are coming here for a drink, and we might just play some poker as well. So, you know, just, hey, just hang on here. It won't be long, 2-3 hours, they'll be gone. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will enable us to give us the power, as he says in verse 21, to test everything, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that can give you victory. Don't try to fight your circumstances with your own power. Turn to our Lord Jesus Christ and submit yourself wholly to him and have direct access to the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace or shalom. Peace and shalom of God sanctifies you. Verse 23. Shalom is the Hebrew word. it refers to the wholesomeness of God's peace that embodies our body, mind, and soul. Shalom is a serenity that gives you calm despite your troubles. Shalom is the inner joy that you experience despite your bodily pains. Shalom is the love that the Heavenly Father gives to you, that you can feel it in your innermost being, that even though words can't describe it, but each time you feel that love, tears roll down from your cheek and you know the presence of God. That's the shalom that God wants to give you. And He sanctifies us when we fully submit ourselves to Him. Promise of God's faithfulness and fulfillment, verse 24. He who calls you is faithful. Beloved, our hope and trust are in God's faithfulness, and He has never failed us, His children. Simply put, by the Apostle Paul, He will surely do it. These past 18 months have been really difficult for all of us. Never in our lifetime have we experienced a global pandemic and of this scale. It has brought a lot of pains and sufferings, loss of jobs, and even loss of lives. Never in the history of mankind have we experienced so much divisiveness among the people within our country and even within our families and among our loved ones and close friends. And this is not just Canada, but almost every country in the world. This divisiveness that this pandemic has brought about is happening globally. We have struggled to live our lives as best as we can, and yet we're still uncertain what lies ahead of us. We even feel helpless, and in many instances, cut off from our loved ones who live far away from us. I mentioned earlier, my eldest daughter's family lives in Arizona. My wife and I were unable to see our grandkids until 2 months ago when we made our flight after we have been fully vaccinated for a brief visit. It was a very challenging and costly trip because of COVID protocol. Several layers of instructions, using the app, using all kinds of ways, and if you are not computer savvy or tech savvy, it's just not possible to travel. But for those of you out there who are grandparents like we, like me, you would know that no matter what price you have to pay and how much trouble you go through, that is a trip that was well worth it. It was a very emotional reunion. Last year, in the thick of pandemic, my eldest brother, who lived in Singapore, was fighting for his life. And eventually, he passed away in October last year. It was tough as I felt so helpless, not even having the opportunity to visit him or see him for the last time. But thankfully, I will see him on the day of Christ in heaven. I have an older brother who lives in Ontario, London, Ontario, with his wife and son and family. He's 3 years older than me. I come from a very big family. Both of us are like buddies. Late last year, he was diagnosed with liver cancer. And in January this year, he had half his liver removed. Thankfully, he's now in the process of recovery. During that time when he was diagnosed and had the surgery, the COVID situation in Ontario was so bad that I was prevented from flying there to see him. I was very upset and disappointed. And once again, I felt so helpless. But finally, my wife and I were able to visit him 7 weeks ago, pray with him, hug him, and share a lot of things with him. We are thankful to God for making that trip possible. 3 weeks ago, a very close friend of mine and business partner for 12 years when my family were living in Israel, and this friend in Singapore was diagnosed with gallbladder cancer. And barely 10 months, that was 3 weeks ago, after 10 months, he passed away. Again, I felt so helpless and terrible that I could not even go and see him and pray with him and his wife and his family. Thankfully, he's now with our Lord Jesus. Beloved, life can be tough and miserable if we only focus on things that don't go our way. But if we shift our focus from ourselves to Jesus, to our Lord, to God, then people and events around us will take a totally different perspective altogether. Life is made complicated and miserable only because our focus is on ourselves, especially on the bad things that happen. Can we be thankful to God in all circumstances? And that includes both the good and the bad. If we are to try to do this on our own, we will fail and fail miserably. And this is why the Apostle Paul said in verse 25, he says, "Brothers, pray for us. Indeed, we are to pray one for another and one with each other." He even encouraged us in verse 26, "Greet all brothers with a holy kiss." But in view of COVID-19, we will not do this today. But we will do what Paul asked us to pray for one another. And so at this moment, I'd like you to turn to somebody next to you and pray a short prayer for each other. If you're alone here, go to someone seated close to you, but please observe COVID protocol, wear a mask if you need to, and you get close. And before you pray, would you just share just briefly one or two things that you're thankful to God for this week? And then have a very short prayer and I will close in prayer. Would you do that? Stand up where you are or turn around to somebody next to you and have a moment of short sharing and prayer. Let me close in prayer. Let me pray. Our Father, our God, our merciful Lord, we are living in trying times, facing different challenges almost every day. Hardship, pain, sorrow, sufferings. We want to humbly submit them to you and ask, Lord, that you would anoint each one of us as we reach out to you. Lord, that we will be able to truly come to you and be able to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Have mercy on us, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand? And I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held.
Standing as we receive the Lord's benediction, I invite those who are here as well as those virtual friends and members of the church who are worshiping us virtually this morning. And now go in the power of the Holy Spirit to rejoice always, to be able to pray unceasingly and give thanks in all circumstances. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Jehovah God, our Father in heaven, and the fellowship and encouragement of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us here now until His glorious return. Amen.